20th of Kislev, 27th of November, 1991, Tavshin Nun Bet, an overview of Tanakh. Last week we learned Milchemet Ha'ai, the second battle of Ai. What I'm really going to try and do this morning, to try and really cover ground. I don't know whether I'll succeed, but let's see. I'd like to give you an overview of a number of prokim in Yehoshua, so that after Hanukkah we can really spend maybe 2 or 3 weeks on the end of Yehoshua, and then go into selected topics in Sefer Shoftim. Maybe I'm trying to accomplish too much, but let's see. The second battle of Ai was in chapter 8 of Yehoshua, and it ended with Pasuk 29. Pasuk 30 of chapter 8. Let's read. Oz Yivne Yehoshua Mizbeach LaHashem Elokei Yisrael. Then Yehoshua built an altar to God, the God of Israel, Bahar Evol, in Mount Evol. Ka'asher Tzivon Moshe Eved Hashem Ez Moshe. Servant of God had commanded the children of Israel, Kakatuv b'sefer Torah Moshe, as is written in the book of the Torah of Moshe, Mizbach Avanim Shleimot, an altar of stones that are complete, Ashelo Hinif Alehen Barzel, upon which metal had not been laid. Vayalu alav olot laHashem, and they brought olot to God. Vayizbechu shlamim, and they brought shlamim. Now, what is being described here is a major parsha in Torah. It says the in Parshat Re'eh. I will read from Parshat Re'eh in Sefer Devarim. When God will bring you to the land that you're coming there to inherit, the curse upon Mount Eval and the blessing on Har Gerizim. This is in Parashat Re'eh, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Lamed in Sefer Devarim. When Jews enter Eretz Yisrael, they are supposed to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Anybody know where Har Gerizim and Har Eval are? Shechem, right? Shechem is built on Har Gerizim and Har Eval. Torah says that when they arrive there, they are to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eval, and the bracha is going to be on Har Gerizim and the klal on Har Eval. We'll see what this means. Halo Hema. Those mountains are Be'ever Hayarden, the other side of the Jordan, Acharei Derech Mevar HaShemesh, after the where the sun sets, Be'eretz HaKanani, in the land of the Kanani, HaYoshev Va'arava, who live on the Arava, Mul HaGilgal Eitzel Eilonei Moreh. Ki Atem Ovrim Et Hayarden, because you're crossing the Jordan, Lavol Reshet Et Haaretz, to come and inherit the land, Asher HaShem Elokeichem Nateim Lechem, that God your God gives to you, the Yerishtim Ota, the Yeshaftim, but you will inherit the land and you will live in the land. Now this is in Parshat Re'eh. Later on in Parshat Ki Tavo, the Torah tells us precisely 6 tribes are to stand on Har Gerizim, 6 tribes are to stand on Har Eval, the Kohanim and the Aron standing in the middle in the valley between the two mountains. And then they will call out. They're going to announce a series of brachot, and then a series of klalot, and everybody has to answer amen. In a sense, this was after coming into Eretz Yisrael, Jews were going to accept upon themselves the covenant of God. So what we are told over here is that Yehoshua indeed did precisely that. In Parashat Ki Tavo, in Dvorim Perek Chov Zayin, Pasuk Yud Aleph, it says there, Vayitzav Moshe et ha'om bayom ahu leimor. Moshe commanded the people on that day, saying, Eile yamdu lebarech et ha'om ahar grizim. These should stand on Mount Grizim for the bracha of Rechemet Hayardim when you cross the Jordan. Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yisachar, Yosef, Ubinyamin. Ve'ele yamdu al aklola b'harevol, Reuven, God, Osher, Zvulun, Dan, v'Naphtali. For Anu Aleviim, the Leviim who are in the middle, they are the ones who are supposed to speak out in a loud voice. V'amru el kol ish Yisrael, they should say to each and every person of Israel, to all of Israel, kol ra. Arur hoyish, cursed is the man who's going to make pesel umasecha, a graven image. Toavat Hashem maaseh yedei charosh v'som basoteh v'onu kol ha'am v'amru amein. Everybody is supposed to say amen. Our rabbis tell us that since it said earlier that there's supposed to be brocha and klala, all of these, there are 11 statements that are made over here. They were first said in the positive as a bracha, and then they were said in the negative as a klala. Oror makle ovi v'imo v'omak kol ha'amamein. Oror masik givur re'eyu v'omak kol ha'amamein. I'm not going to go into that whole parasha because we can stay there for a week just to understand what takes place over there. But here, in a sense, was the fact Jews had come into Eretz Yisrael, they were going to accept upon themselves a covenant now, and there was a major demonstration of Jews gathering and saying amen to all of these blessings and these curses. What I believe is also very significant is that the pasuk here says that Yahushua did what Moshe, the servant of God, had commanded the children of Israel, as it says in Sefer Torat Moshe, Mizbach Avanim Shleimot Asher Lo Heinif Aleihen Barzel. Why is it significant to point out that he built an altar, as God had told Moshe in Torah to make an altar of complete stones, ashalohenib alei and basil, that no metal was used in order to use those stones? Where is this halacha? This halacha appears at the end of Parshat Yitro. Now, at the end of Parshat Yitro, right after the Aseret HaDibrot, it says the following. Right at the end, after the Aseret HaDibrot, Mizbach Adama Ta'aseli, you shall make unto me an altar of earth. V'zavachta olovet olatecha vet shlamecha, your fire offerings and your peace offerings you shall bring upon them. Et tzoncha ve'et bekarecha, v'chol ha'makom asher askir et shemi, wherever my name will be mentioned, although elech I will come uveirachticha, I will bless you. V'im mizbach avanim ta'aseli, if you will make unto me an altar of stone, lo tivne et hen gazit, you are not permitted to build them gazit. Gazit means to cut and hew the stones with metal. Ki char b'cho hein afto oleha, because you have placed your sword upon the altar, v'techal oleha, and you have therefore desecrated it. Rashi in Parashat Yitro on the spot says the following. Why does one desecrate the altar if the altar if the stones of the altar are cut or hewn, shaped or formed with metal? Says Rashi the following. Holamadato, from this pasuk you learn, she'im heinafta oleho barzel, if you used metal in order to cut the stones, chilalta, you have desecrated the mizbeach. Shamizbeach nivra laharich yomov shel adam,
the Mizbeach was created in order that man should have length of life. The Mizbeach is the source of forgiveness. It is the source of kapara, forgiveness for man. The Habarzel Nivra Lekatzir Yamav Shel Adam, and metal was created in order to shorten the life of man. Ein Zeh Bedin, it's not correct. Sheyunav HaMekatzir Al HaMa'arich, it's not right that which shortens life should be raised over that which lengthens life. Va'od, and further Rashi says, Shamizbeach matil shalom ben Yisrael la'avim shabashamayim, the altar upon which sacrifices are brought, they bring peace between Israel and their father in heaven. Lefichach lo yavo olav koreit umechabel. Therefore, since the Mizbeach is the source of peace between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, that which is destructive by its very nature should not be brought upon that which is made for peace. V'harei dvorim kal v'chomer. Rashi says, take a look, what a kal v'chomer. Uma avonim, stones, she'inam ro'ot, v'lo shom'ot, v'lo medabrot, stones that don't see, don't hear, and don't speak. Ayideshim atilot shalom, because they bring peace between God and man. Omra Torah, the Torah said, lo tonif alehem barzel, you should not bring metal upon those stones. Hamapil shalom bein ish l'ishto, one who brings peace between man and his wife. Bein mishpacha l'mishpacha, between family and family. Bein odem l'chaveru, between men and fellow men. Al achat kama v'kama, certainly a person who does something of that sort, shelo tivo ehu pur onut, no punishment shall ever befall him. The reason why I'm learning the Rashi is, first of all, what we learn from this Rashi is that there is a two-sided attitude toward war in Torah. What is Torah's attitude to war? Is Torah for war? Is Torah against war? Is Torah shalom achshav, peaceniks, to the right, to the left? What is Torah? What is Torah's approach to war? We've already had a number of approaches. First of all, we know that there's a mitzvah to go into Eretz Yisrael and drive out the seven nations that are there. On the other hand, of course, we learn that the halacha is that you have to extend a hand of peace to every one of the nations in Eretz Yisrael. So on the one hand, you extend the hand of peace. On the other hand, there's a mitzvah, if they don't accept peace, that they are to be destroyed. Here, what do we find? The Mizbeach did not be made with metal, because the Mizbeach is that which it was created to lengthen man's life, and metal is that which shortens man's life. So you know what Torah is telling us over here? What we're being told is an approach to war, which seems to be the opposite of what we are told in other places of Torah. Wage war! Fight for Eretz Yisrael! Obviously, what Torah is telling us is there's a sense of ambivalence with regard to war. War is evil, but there are times at which it is a necessary evil. You know what I'm really getting at? What I'm getting at is there's one thing that bothers me in this pasuk. Yehoshua brings sacrifices. The only place in all of Tanakh where we are told that he brings sacrifices on an altar that were made from stones upon which no metal had been used, as it is said in the Sefer Torah Moshe. Why is this said here at this point? There are other people that are going to bring sacrifices upon altars, and we are not reminded of that halacha at the end of Parashat Yitro. Why are we reminded about it now? Obviously, it's right after
the first real battle.
And do you know what the Navi wants to do? The Navi wants to bring us back to a sense of equilibrium and balance. That we are waging wars. We're waging wars because we have to wage wars. We are not waging war because war is something to be glorified. Torah does not glorify war. And therefore here, right after that second battle of Ai, where really they had wiped out the cities of Ai and Yericho, Ai and Beit El, so here he says he brings sacrifices on an altar that was not made with metal. In other words, in the consciousness of Yahushua and Klal Yisrael is the idea that war is evil. War is evil. Arichus Yomim is what Torah wants, not Kitzur Yomim, not the shortening of life. And furthermore, that second pshat in Rashi, the idea that what is ultimately best for the people is that which will bring peace between man and wife, man and fellow man, family and family. So here a people are about to be established. In other words, they are now going to become a people. And you know what's going to happen now? What's going to happen now is for the next number of years, they're going to wage war. They're going to spread out all over Eretz Yisrael. Here is a people who for 40 years journeyed together and camped together, moved together, suffered together, learned together, enjoyed the divine presence together. The process of Klal Yisrael beginning to spread out is going to begin now. And if that process is going to begin, what now is going to become necessary is to maintain the contact between one and the other. You know what it is when somebody moves away? Yeah, you know, we'll be in touch, we'll call, you know, we'll write. And we know what happens. We know what happens afterwards. You know, you call a few times a year, then it becomes nothing more than a Rosh Hashanah card and maybe an invitation to a bar mitzvah. Here, Klal Yisrael are entering into a covenant with one another, that though we are now going to spread out through all of Eretz Yisrael, the sense of contact, the idea that we are one mishpacha, we're one family, has got to be retained. We have to make a special effort to retain that. Therefore, I believe this very first act, the pasuk reminds us of a halacha in Torah and does not do it again throughout all of Tanakh. Only in one place where it comes something a little similar, but not precisely as here. When Shlomo HaMelech builds the Beit HaMikdash, it says that on the entire Temple Mount, you didn't hear the sound of a hammer or a saw or a chisel. You didn't hear a sound. All of the stones that were used for the Beit HaMikdash were hewn and cut, formed and shaped on site and brought to the Beit HaMikdash and put in place. Binyan Tromi? In other words, I'm afraid to say prefab, but Beit HaMikdash wasn't a caravan. But what he did was he had everything cut perfectly to measure, and then it was brought to the Beit HaMikdash. Yes?
There was a certain worm that
Yes.
The shamir
had to be used only for the mizbeach. Only for the mizbeach, because the mizbeach, even if you were going to cut the stones on site, you could not cut them with metal because of this halacha that we're talking about here.
In other words, Yehoshua had this shamir.
He may have. Yes, he had it. Either he had it, or he used stones and that didn't fit per-
perfectly together, but just put them one on top of another, but did not use any metal in order to cut it.
Stone on stone to cut.
Huh? What?
Whatever.
All right. Let's go further. In Yehoshua, Vayichtov Shom al Havonim, on those stones he wrote a Mishneh Torat Moshe, Asher Katav Lufnei B'nei Yisrael, he wrote Mishneh Torah. There is a machloket in the Gemara what they wrote on those stones. It may be Sefer Devarim was inscribed on the stones, or the Brachot and the Klalot, the 11 Brachot and Klalot in Parashat Ki Tavo, were written on those stones. Chol Yisrael, Uzekenav, Veshotrim, Veshoftav, Onde Mizeh Umizeh La'aron, and all of Israel, the elders and the officers and the judges, standing on both sides of the Aron, Neged HaKohanim HaLeviim, facing the Kohanim and the Leviim, Nosei Aron Brit Hashem, who carried the Ark of the Covenant of God, Kager Ka'ezrach, all of them, Chetzio El Mul Har Grizim, half facing Har Grizim, the Chetzio El Mul Har Evol, half toward Har Evol, Kashet Sivar Moshe Ever Hashem, as Moshe, the servant of God, commanded Levarech et Ha'am Yisrael Barishona, the people of Israel Barishona, at first. At first meaning that the first major gathering of the Jewish people, where they enter into a relationship with God after they have crossed the Jordan, is to take place there. Yes? No, the Mizbech was in the center. In the center. Yes.
I'm a little confused here now. In the Chumash, I thought this took place under Moshe. It was not a double activity. No.
In Torah, it says when they cross the Jordan. For Hoyo Ba'avrechem, when you will cross the Jordan and you will come. So that's why the Pasuk here says that what Moshe had said in Torah, Yahushua indeed fulfilled it. And we're going to see. This is another theme of Sefer Yehoshua. In Sefer Yehoshua, we're going to see the fulfillment of specific commands that are given in Sefer Devarim. And in that sense, Sefer Yehoshua becomes the completion and the fulfillment of Torah. And therefore the Gemara says, would Israel not have sinned, all they would have been given would have been the five books of Moshe, Chamisha Chumshei Torah, plus Sefer Yehoshua. There would have been no need for any other svarim. Where, in what respect is Yehoshua different than all of the other svarim? All of the other Sifrei HaTanakh were written in response to the fact that Jews had sinned. That's what all the Sifrei HaTanakh were about. Sefer Yehoshua is not at all related to the sins of Klal Yisrael. Sefer Yehoshua is the completion and the fulfillment of commandments in Torah. For example, the conquest of the land. The division of the land according to each tribe. These are complete parashiyot in Torah, parashat Matos, parashat Maaseh, in parts of Pinchas, a number of parashiyot in Devarim. There's going to be one chapter here in Yehoshua, if I'm not mistaken, it's chapter 20. Chapter 20 in Yehoshua. This is part of our overview. Do you see the first pasuk in chapter 20 in Yehoshua? There is no other pasuk in Nevi'im and Ketuvim like it. Do you see the pasuk? And you're wondering, what am I talking about? Vayedaber Hashem el Yehoshua leimor, and God spoke to Yehoshua so saying. What does that bring to mind? Only what you read in Torah, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe leimor, when God spoke to Moshe and he told him mitzvot that ought to be fulfilled by Klal Yisrael. You will not find in Tanakh Vayedaber Hashem el Yeshayahu leimor. That form of speech is God commanding the people to do a mitzvah, a fulfillment of one of the 613 mitzvot. The pasuk appears only by Yahushua, because in a number of respects, Yahushua is the one who is the completion and the fulfillment of that which begins in Torah. What is chapter 20 all about? Do you know what chapter 20 is all about? There's a whole parasha in Torah about cities of refuge. There are supposed to be six cities of refuge where a person who has killed unintentionally is to flee there and remain there until the death of the Kohen Gadol. It says Moshe, before he died, Moshe had conquered the east bank of the Jordan, and there he indeed designated the three cities of refuge. Yahushua, who now conquers the west bank of the Jordan, is commanded by God now to designate the three cities on the west bank of the Jordan, which now becomes the fulfillment of that which was begun by Moshe. Because the halacha says that the three cities that were designated by Moshe did not become operative until Yahushua designated the other three. There had to be a total of six. The six created a halachic entity. So Yahushua, therefore, is the completion and the fulfillment of Torah in major areas. As we say, the conquest of the land, dividing the land amongst the tribes, creating the covenant between God and the Jewish people. The fact that all of Israel are circumcised by Yahushua. We learned about the circumcision of Klal Yisrael. So therefore Yahushua is the completion and the fulfillment of Moshe. What did we say in the first shiur? We quoted the Gemara that says, Pnei Moshe kipnei chama. The face of Moshe was like the face of the sun. Pnei Yehoshua kipnei levana. The face of Yehoshua was the face of the moon. Yahushua is the reflection, the alter ego of Moshe, the completion and the fulfillment of the brilliance, the shine of Moshe is Yahushua. Therefore, would Israel not have sinned, all that we would have had would have been the five books of Moshe and Sefer Yahushua, which means having studied Sefer Yahushua would not merely have been an overview of Tanakh, and that would have been all of Tanakh. And we're therefore going to see a number of other things that are going to take place in Sefer Yahushua that are unique and unusual, and that happened only to Moshe and to Yahushua, nobody else. Yes. Yahushua. According to the Gemara says that, according to one opinion of the Gemara, Yahushua wrote the last eight psukim of Torah, where it says that Moshe went up to the mountain and died there and he was buried. He wrote the last eight psukim of Torah and Sefer Yahushua. But because it's Yahushua who's writing it, and Yahushua is the great student of Moshe, he completes Torah. Yes?
Just want to take
it
back to Paris.
Further, yes?
The abonim that were used to build the Mizbeach, were they the ones that were taken from the Jordan River?
It's amazing. You're asking very good questions, and all of these are discussed by the Mefarshim in great detail. According to some, it was the stones that were taken from when they crossed the Jordan, were brought there, and then they're going to be taken back to Gilgal. Take a look at the Pesukim. In Pasuk Lamed Aleph, V'achrei chen Korah kol divrei HaTorah HaBrocha V'haklola. Afterwards, Yahushua read all of the words of Torah, the blessing and the curse, Kechol HaKatuv, the Sefer HaTorah, he read it for all of Israel. Lo ha-yodova mikol asher tziva Moshe, asher lo koro Yahushua neged kol kahal Yisrael, v'hanoshim, v'hataf, v'hager ha-holeh b'kirvam. There was nothing in the Torah of Moshe that Yahushua did not read before the entire kahal Yisrael, the community of Israel, the women and the children. Notice again the order, women before children, V'hager ha'oleil v'kirbam. He read all of Torah for them. In other words, we're talking about an extremely, extremely impressive gathering of all of Israel. Let me point out that according to some of the Mefarshim, this parsha is not written in its proper chronological place. It really took place earlier, soon after they had arrived in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, can you imagine, we're talking about 3 million people who are standing along the slopes of Har Gerizim and Har Ebal, the Kohanim and the Levim in the center, the Oron, and Yehoshua reading Torah to them. I mean, we're talking about the kind of demonstration that will leave a lasting impression on all who are there. In a sense, it is at this point that Yehoshua becomes not only the great military leader of Klal Yisrael, he becomes the great teacher. The great teacher. Yes?
Yeah. That,
What are you talking about? Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel were given at Sinai.
Other books of the Tanakh are commented upon in the Gemara. There's a lot of reference to them. So would they have made reference to books that may not have been given?
I once told you in some other shiur, there's a very beautiful Rav Shamshon Ravoel Hirsch at the beginning of Parshat Mishpatim. He says the following. He says that a student is in school, university, listens to lectures from his professor all year, and he takes notes. Somebody else wants to use the notes. So you know what the student will say? Oh no, come on. I'd love to lend you my notes, but you wouldn't understand my notes. Why wouldn't somebody else understand the notes? Because there are terms and phrases that are used in the notes that somebody who was present at the lecture knows precisely what it means. In other words, the lecturer took time to explain in detail the concept, but then kept referring to it by a word in whatever field you want. It's so. Somebody who's not in the field is going to start reading notes that somebody took on lectures, be it psychology or medicine or something else, just one term, and you've lost it all. The Torah, Rav Shamshon Ravoel Hirsch says, were the notes that were given by Moshe to Klal Yisrael. The Jew who spent 40 years in the desert and heard shurim from Moshe, from Aaron, from Elazar, from Itamar, from the 70s of Canaan, they came to the word tefillin, they knew immediately what it meant, because they had been told in detail precisely what it meant. They came to the word v'zavachta, so they knew exactly what it meant. When we talk about Torah Shebetav, the written Torah, and the oral Torah, we're talking about the Chamisha Chumshei Torah and the vast explanation of it. That has nothing to do with Mishlei and Iyov and Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. Nothing to do with anything. Those are not the halachic parts of Torah. Those are the prophetic parts of Torah. Again, the Gemara says that would we have been worthy, there would have been no necessity for anything beyond the five books of Moshe and Sefer Yehoshua. Why is Sefer Yehoshua so important? As we say, because Sefer Yehoshua is the completion and the fulfillment of Torah. Starting with Sefer Shoftim, there we are already dealing with books that were written in response to the fact that Jews had not fulfilled their mission completely. Have I set your minds at ease? Okay. Very good. Yes.
I think it would be, and I think that we should know a little bit about that.
Hopefully, after we finish Yehoshua, what I want you to know is, first of all, what are the 24 Kitvei HaKodesh? Who wrote the 24 Kitvei HaKodesh? There are 24 And I'm afraid to say most people could not list the 24 Kitvei HaKodesh. I'm going to try my best to make sure you know the names of each one of the 24, when they were written, and who wrote them. There is not much problem as to what was not included, because there was not that much that was written aside from that which became part of the Kitvei HaKodesh. Believe me, Nader, I'm going to try and give you indeed not only an overview of Tanakh, but a view of Tanakh. Here it is. Let me tell you the truth. I had planned on covering about 5 prokim today, and we have succeeded in doing about 5 psukim. So therefore, next chapter, chapter number 9. Chapter 9 is the chapter that deals with people from the city of Gibeon who came to Yehoshua, and they made believe that they had come from someplace distant, and they entered into a treaty. They are the only people who made peace with Yehoshua. I suggest that you read the chapter, study it well. I don't know whether we will comment on it. If I begin commenting on it, we'll never get out of here. But I, you know, can't comment on all of Tanakh. But I certainly want to bring you into Chapter Yud, because in Chapter Yud something is going to happen that must be remembered and known for all time. And there are certain psukim in Tanakh that you have to be able to know the pasuk. Into Chapter Yud. So remember, Chapter Tet is the people of Gibeon entering into an agreement with Yehoshua and a treaty. Chapter 10. Vayehi kishma Adoni Tzedek melech Yerushalayim. When Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, heard, am I mistaken? I think this is the first time that Yerushalayim is mentioned by name in all of Tanakh. It's not, the name Yerushalayim does not appear in Chumash. The closest that comes is Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. The name Yerushalayim does not appear in Chumash. Alright, okay, here goes today's share. Here goes today's share. Of course, interesting, Adoni Tzedek, who was the one that was mentioned in Torah? Who is the one that comes out to Avraham? Malki Tzedek. What it really means, Malki Tzedek Melech Shalem. Just like the kings of Egypt were called pharaohs, the kings of Plishtim were called Avimelech, the kings of Yerushalayim had Tzedek someplace in their name. It could have been Malki Tzedek, it could be Adoni Tzedek. Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim. So first let me read the pasuk and then we'll talk about the king of Yerushalayim. Or for that matter, about Yerushalayim. And it came to pass when Adoni Tzedek, the king of Yerushalayim, heard, Ki lokat Yehoshua et ha'ai, vayachadima, that Yehoshua had captured Ai and destroyed the city, kasher osol Yericho l'malka, as he had done to Yericho and to her king, Cain also la'ayu l'malka, so he did to Ai and her king. And he also heard v'chi hishlimu yoshvei Gibeon et Yisrael, and he heard that the people of Gibeon had made peace with Israel, v'yihyu b'kirbam, and the people of Gibeon were in the midst of Israel. V'yiru me'od, they became very frightened, ki ir gedola Gibeon, because Gibeon was a big city, ka'acha b'rei ha'mamlacha, like one of the cities of a major kingdom. Gibeon was bigger than I. And all of the people of Gibeon were mighty ones. And if they had made peace with Yahushua, this already sent a fear through the rest of the land of Canaan. So therefore what happened was, Vayishlach Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim El Hoham Melech Chevron. He sent to Hoham, the king of Chevron, ואל פירעון מלך ירמות, ואל יופיע מלך לחיש, ואל דביר מלך אגלון לאמור. He sent to these four kings. There is now, what's going to happen is an alliance of five kings. These five kings represent Yerushalayim and the south of Hebron. We recognize the name Hebron. Lachish, we know where Hebel Lachish is. Hebel Lachish is along the coast to the south. Kiryat Gat, etc., is inland. Now, just imagine the entire area. It may even include Rehovot, along the coast, going south till about Beersheba. There are going to be two major battles that Yahushua is going to wage, against the kings of the south, and then it's going to be against the kings of the north. Chapter 9:10 is the battle of the kings of the south. They all gather, and what does the king of Yerushalayim say? Alu Eli, come up to me, v'izruni, and help me, v'naked, Gibeon, and we will smite Gibeon, ki hishlima et Yahushua, because she has made peace with Yahushua, that Bnei Yisrael are the children of Israel. All of the five kings gather, and the battle begins. In other words, they begin, they're going to attack Gibeon. They're going to attack Gibeon because of the fact that they were mishatfei pu'ula im hashiltonot. Is that the term that is used? Arabs killing Arabs because of the fact that they are suspected of being collaborators with the Shiltonot. Yes.
So when Egypt made a peace treaty with Israel, before the other Arab countries
then tried
to punish
Israel. Exactly. And for years did punish.
Yeah.
And that's precisely, you know, there is a point to it. In order to frighten anybody else from entering into a similar agreement with Bnei Yisrael. So the five kings are going to prepare to attack Gibeon. Gibeon immediately wants to collect, and they have a right to collect on the treaty that they had entered into with Yahushua, that Yahushua should come to their aid and their assistance. Let's do another few psukim. When I have done the pasuk that I want to do, I will feel that I can talk further. Hey says, Vayye Ostua, they gathered, Vayalu Chameshet Malchei Amori, the five kings of the Amori, the king of Yerushalayim, the king of Hebron, the king of Yarmut, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, they had all of their camps, and they encamped against Gibeon, and they waged war against her. Vayishluchu Anshe Gibeon El Yoshua, El Hamachame HaGilgol Alevar, the people of Gibeon sent Yoshua to the camp in Gilgal, so saying, Al Teref Yodecho Mei Avodecho, do not let your hand be loose or weaken from your servants. Alei Eleinu Mehedah, come up against us quickly, v'hoshiolanu, and save us, v'azreinu, and come to our aid. Ki nikpetu Eleinu kol malchei ha'amodi yoshvei ha'har. All of the kings of the Amodi who live in the mountainous areas of the south, they have all gathered against us. Yahushua went up from Gilgal, he and all of the people of war with him, and all of his mighty soldiers. And God says to Yahushua, don't be afraid of them, because in your hands I have given them. Lo ya'amot ish mehem b'fanecha, not a single man of them shall stand before you. Vayavo aleihem Yehoshua pit'om kol halayla alam min ha'gilgal. Extremely important pasuk. Yehoshua came upon them suddenly, all night he went up from Gilgal. We're going to see in this battle something that we have already seen in all of the other battles. God tells him, don't be afraid of them. I've given them into your hands. If so, Yahushua could leisurely stroll by the light of day and come marching against them. Not the way it works. There is a partnership that has been entered into over here, where man works on man's level and God on his level. Out in the field, the war has to be waged with all of the instruments of war, with all of the strategy and the intelligence of war, at the same time that one is fully aware that the decision has already been taken what will happen on the field of battle. Yahushua and his army march all night from Gilgal and they attack. Suddenly, all of this is done the way an army would wage war, though they know that God has given them into their hands. Throughout Sefer Yahushua, following the Battle of Jericho, this is always going to be stressed.
We have to do what we have to do.
Exactly. Exactly. Our responsibility to do, regardless of what guarantees and commitments we have from God. By Yehumein Hashem Lefnei Yisrael. Watch how the pasuk goes from one to the other. In pasuk 8, you have God's guarantee. In pasuk 9, Yahushua acts. In pasuk 10, it's God acting again. By Yehumein Hashem Lefnei Yisrael, and God confused them before Israel. By Yakeim Makor Gedolah the Gibbon, and he smote them a great Makor in Gibbon. By Yirdefein Derech Male Beit Choron, and he pursued them. And he pursued them. You know what's interesting? Even as you read this pasuk, you don't know who he is anymore. Isn't the he lost? Is it a he with a capital H or is it a small he? By Yehumein Hashem Lefnei Yisrael, God pursued them before the children of Israel, before Israel. By Yakeim, and he smote them. Who? Who? The Mefarshim don't say anything about it. Vayakeim Matah Gedolah could be Yisrael, because Yisrael was the last word that had been used in the pasuk, or it could be God. He smote them Makor Gedolah B'Givon, and he pursued them Derech Male Beit Choron. We know where Beit Choron is. Beit Choron. Beit Choron is Nilatrun. Around Moshav Matityahu, we have the Moshav Beit Choron. Now, watch what's happening over here. Gibeon, this great city of Gibeon, was near Abu Gush. Not far from Kiryat Yarim, Abu Gush tells them. Now, the battle begins around there, and they begin to pursue them westward, right? So they're moving along the highway, they pass Shoresh, and don't stop in at Shoresh or Bet Meir. They keep moving along. Where have they made their way after Shoresh? They've made their way down to the power station at Shar Hagai, and they're still moving along. Watch, then comes the turn off, right, to Latrun, no, further than Beth Shemesh, Latrun, Ashkelon, Rehovot, all of that. Now keep going. Right over there, if you turn to the right, you have Matityahu and Beth Choron. Now watch what's going to happen. That piece of land now becomes terribly important. That geographic, just focus in on that geographic location. Because what area is there? What area is there?
Ayalon
Valley. In other words, you can see Shalavim you can see from the highway already, right? And when Nofai Alon starts going up, you'll be able to see that too. We're talking about, that's really Poale Agudat Yisrael country. You have over there Bet Chilkiya, what do you have? You have Bet Chilkiya, you have Binyamin, what? Oh, that whole area is going to be extremely important. Watch. Derech Malay Beit Charon by Yakim Ad Azekava Ad Makeda by Yurim bin Nusam Ibnay Israel, as they fled before Israel, Hain the Morad Beit Charon. They are going down to the valley of Beit Charon. Vashem Ishlich Aleim, God cast upon them Avanim Gedolot Min Hashemayim, big stones from heaven, a divine intifada. Avanim Gedolot Min Hashemayim. Ad Azeka, until Azeka by Yomutu, and they died. Rabbi Mashem Meitu Ba'avnei Ba'haparad, there were more that died from the the stones of hail, may Asher Horgu B'nei Yisrael Bechorev, from those that the children of Israel killed with the sword. Do you see what's happening in this pasuk? There are two battles going on. There's a battle from heaven and a battle below. Here comes the great pasuk. Oz yedaber Yehoshua l'Hashem, then Yehoshua spoke to Hashem. Yom teit Hashem to Amori, on the day that God gave the Amori l'fnei b'nei Yisrael b'yomeh, and he said, le'enei Yisrael, in the eyes of Israel, shemesh b'givon dom, v'yareach b'enek ayalon. Let the sun stand still, silent, in Givon, and the valley, the moon over the valley of Ayalon. Now we have the geographic picture. Well, the battle is taking place between the whole area from Kiryat Yarim, Tel Stone, Abu Gush on one hand, all the way to Shalavim and Emek Ayalon on the other. And it is then that Yehoshua says, Shemesh beGivon, the sun over Givon. That means the sun is someplace over Kiryat Yarim, and the moon is over the valley of Ayalon, that's over Shalavim, that's really right around, right about the Latrun. Shomet Latrun, that's where all of the action is. Let's take a look at this pasuk again. Pasuk Yudbet. Oz Yedaber Yehoshua LaHashem. Oz Yedaber. Do you know what the word Yedaber is? Didn't we point out a little? That's very strong. And what's more, we pointed out the first pasuk in Perek Chaf in Yehoshua, Vayedaber Hashem El Yehoshua Lemor. Dibur is a form of command. Do you hear? Oz Yedaber Yehoshua LaHashem. I don't believe that there is another pasuk like this in Tanakh either. A man speaking to God, not merely speaking, but Dibur is a command. Aseret ha-dvarim, aseret ha-dibrot, vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor, oz yedaber Yehoshua. Yehoshua spoke, he commanded God, shemesh begivon dom, v'yareach be'emek ayalon. And you know what happened? Instant. Vayidom ha-shemesh, the sun fell silent, v'yareach amad, and the moon stood still. Ad yikom goy oivav, until a nation took revenge of its enemies. Halohi ketuva al sefer hayashar, and this is written in the sefer hayashar, the book of righteousness. The book of righteousness, we will see in a moment, is Torah itself. Hayamod hashemesh b'chatzi hashamayim, the sun stood still in the very midst of the heaven. V'lo otz lavo kiyom tamim, and did not hurry to set for a complete day, a 24-hour period. There's a great deal to be said over here. Bekitzer, Yehoshua didn't ask for a 24-hour period during which sun and moon remain fixed in their place. He said, you know, until we finish the battle. The Maharal explains it had to be for a 24-hour period because there is a synchronization of all of the heavenly bodies. In the event that the sun and the moon would have started to move in middle of the 24-hour period, all of nature would have been out of sync with the rest of nature. But if everything stands still for a 24-hour period and then picks up 24 hours later, to the second, begins moving again, then everything is precisely in the place where it should be. In other words, there are stars and heavenly bodies that have a certain distance between them and the sun and the moon. That distance, that ratio, that relationship had to remain for all of time. So therefore, everything stops for 24 hours. And as the pasuk points out, V'lo hoya kayom ahu lefonav the Akrav, there was no day like this before it or afterwards. Lishmoa Hashem, the Kol Ish, God listening to the voice of man. Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael. Why does he listen? Tzadik goes there, the Tzadik decrees the HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekayem, and God fulfills, because God is the one who wages war for Israel. Isn't it fascinating? Here we have the second half. We've been saying that just about in every pasuk, there's a divine battle and there's a human battle. In this pasuk, do you know what we have? Divine and human, but do you know who is calling the shots? Who is divining the divine? It is Yahushua. Yahushua is the one. And you know what? God listens. Ki Hashem nilcham li Yisrael, because God is waging war for Israel. God is not only a good commander, he's also a good bug private. He knows how to take orders and instructions when the instructions are given. One other point. What's the meaning of the term Vayidom HaShemesh? And what is it? What would Yeshua say? Shemesh, the Givon, Dome. What does Dome mean?
Silence.
Silence. Where do you have... When the sons of Aaron are struck down in the Mishkan, it says, Vayidom Aaron, Aaron remains silent. Why is the term that's used over here is Shemesh, the Givon, the sun over Givon, Dome? What's the meaning of Dome? Be silent. I mean, the sun makes a lot of noise when it moves. I would imagine there would be a better term to be used. Shemesh, and the fact is that the word Dome applies not only to Shemesh, but to Yoreach as well. Remember, there's only one command in the pasuk. Shemesh begivon dome, v'yareach be'emek ayalon. What about Yoreach be'emek ayalon? Dome, Yoreach be'emek ayalon. Why dome? Why dome? In Kael Adon, that we say Shabbos in the morning. Tovim mi oros shebara Elokeinu yitzaram bedad bevino v'haskel. Good are the lights, the luminary bodies in the heaven that God created. Yitzaram, he created them bedad bevino v'haskel, with knowledge, with the understanding, and with intelligence. Korach u'gevura. Natan Bahem, he gave them strength and might, liyot moshlim bekerev tevel, that they should rule over the world. And then it says later, smechim b'tzeitam, v'sasim b'volam, they are happy when they come out, they're full of joy when they go down, osim be'ema ritzon konam, they do with fear the will of their Creator. Pe'er v'chavod, notnim l'shmo, honor and glory they give to God's name. Tzohala v'rina l'zeichem malchuto, they sing for God's kinship. Korol ha'shemesh, God calls to the sun. Vayizrachor, the life comes. Rav Hitkin, he saw to make Surat Halavana. Shevach notnim lo kol tzvomaron, all of the heavenly bodies praise God. What do you mean they praise God? What do? They say Ashrei. They say Tilim. What is the praise of all of the heavenly bodies? Do you know what their praise is? The movement. The fact that they move and they follow the instructions given by God. This is the song of praise of the heavenly bodies. If they stop doing what they were created to do, then you know what? The song that they sing is silenced. The Medrash therefore says, Dome? What does it mean, dome? Dome milomar shira. Yehoshua said to the sun and to the moon, fall silent from saying shira, the song of praise to God. V'omru, and then the rabbis said, on Pasuk Yudbet Oz Yedaber Yehoshua. Then Yehoshua spoke. Do you know what? You know what Yehoshua said? He said Shira in place of the Shemesh and the Yareach. The song, the great song that God's creatures sing is doing His will. How do the sun and the moon demonstrate the fact that they are doing the will of God by virtue of the fact that they move? If they fall silent, what it really means is their song of praise to God falls silent. That's why Yehoshua uses the term Shemesh b'givon dome v'yareach b'emekayalon. Oz yedaber Yehoshua, Yehoshua says he is now going to sing the song of praise to God in their place. So that the choice of the word dome is very, very carefully chosen. Yes?
It reminds me of Miriam and the women dancing, doing their dance to praise Hashem.
And that was the Oz Yashir. The Oz Yashir of Moshe finds its parallel in the Oz Yedaber of Yahushua. Yes?
The whole constellation had to stop, not only the sun, because had the moon moved, it could have eclipsed the sun, and then the whole thing would have been finished.
Sarah, I'm not the great astronomer, so I just take the word of the Malbim. Malbim says that everything kept moving except for the sun and the moon, and incidentally the reason why he says that is because Yehoshua only commanded sun and moon, and the Pasuk says only Vayidom Hashemesh V'yoreach Amad, which if the Pasuk points that out, that means the Pasuk is saying that all of the rest of the cosmos continued to move. The only thing that stopped was Shemesh and Yoreach, and therefore he explains why it continued for 24 hours. Yes?
What is so special about the status that the world stopped?
I will repeat the question if it's important. Don't get nervous, you know. I'll take care of everything. Yes. What?
Oh, I am. Why? What is it about this battle that the world has stopped?
What is so special about this battle?
And not even the Tiat Mitzrayim was day and night. It has to be because.
Good that you asked this question. And with this, I will close. I have not spoken about Yerushalayim yet. We have to talk about Adoni Tzedek Melech Yerushalayim, but I'm going to end with Sandy's question. In order to understand, to get the answer to this, what's so special about this battle that Yehoshua makes this command and God does it, and there was no day of this sort of God listening b'kol ish in the voice of a man? And if you may remember from previous shul that we said, in different places in Tanakh you find the word bikol or likol. The difference between listening in the voice or to the voice, bikol means listening precisely to the command. God listened precisely to the command of Yahushua. But what was so special about this battle? I'll tell you what was so special about this battle. What battle is this anyway? In the number of battles, we've had the Battle of Yericho, we had the Battle 1 for Ai, which was a disaster. Battle 2 of Ai was really the that which in a sense corrected the problems of Battle 1. The battle for the conquest of Eretz Israel begins now. There are two major battles for the conquest of Eretz Israel. I said, against the kings of the south, against the kings of the north. Let me just Let me just read in Parshat Ki Tisa. In Parshat Ki Tisa. In Parshat Ki Tisa, in Shmot, Perek Lamed Dalet, after the sin of the golden calf, Moshe goes up to the mountain, prays on behalf of the Jewish people. God tells him, listen, I am forgiving. Hashem, Hashem, Kilrakum v'chanun, Erech Hapayim, Rav Chesed v'yemet, No Tzechesed alofim, No Seyobon v'fesha v'chator v'nakei. Yemaher Moshe, Moshe hurries, and he bows down before God. And he says, Im no matzosi kein beinecha, if I found favor in your eyes, Yelech no Hashem b'kibbeinu, let God please go in our midst. Ki am k'sheira odefu, because this is a stiff-necked people. V'salachto lavoneinu, ulechatoteinu, ulechaltanu, forgive us our inequities and our sins. Vayomer. And he said, this is God speaking. This is what God says to Moshe. Hine anochi korei brit, I'm entering into a covenant with you. Neged kol amcha, before your entire people, e'esen nifla'ot, I will do miracles, wonders. Asher lo nivru'u b'chol ha'aretz, u'b'chol ha'goyim, that were never created for any other people and in any other land or for any other nation. V'ro chol ha'am asher atah b'kirbo, and all of the people who are in your midst will see at Maaseh Hashem, the work of God, Ki Nodahu, that it is awesome, Asher Ani Oseh Imach, that I do with you. When did this happen?
This is now.
The Pasuk over here describes a pele that God is going to do in the presence of all of the people of Israel, and before all of the people of the land, never done at any other time or in any other place. And everybody will see that this is the work of an awesome God, and I'm going to do it with you. There was no other day like it, says the Pasuk in Yoshua, where God listened to the voice of man. Where is there a pele, a wonder, that can be seen by the whole earth? Only one. Kriyat Yamsuf happened by the Yamsuf. Even though the Medrash tries to explain it by saying that every water in the world split in order to project the idea that a world found out about it. But what one miracle was there that an entire globe was aware of? Only one. Shemesh b'givon dom. No day never ends, and the day continues not to end for 24 hours. This was the promise that God gave to Moshe when he asked, let God go with us. And here, the first battle for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, here is the day that it's fulfilled. This, in a sense, is a continuation of the idea that we've been expressing throughout this year, that Sefer Yehoshua is the completion and the fulfillment of Torah. There are promises, guarantees, and mitzvot in Torah that are fulfilled, reach their completion, right here in Sefer Yehoshua. So that Sefer Yehoshua is the adjunct to Torah. And this pasuk in Torah is fulfilled here. Yes? I thought somebody would ask that. That's why I kept saying the first battle for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. Well, let's put it this way. Yericho is not really a problem, because Yericho is an act of God too. Except that over here we're talking about an act of God that everybody in the whole world and everybody in Eretz Yisrael knows. The point being now that while others may have heard about Yericho and maybe heard about Kriyat Yamsuf, here is where the battle begins for the conquest of all of Eretz Yisrael,
every king in Eretz Yisrael, all 31 of them, have to know that God is fighting with Yahushua. This is what puts the fear of God into them. In the Galil, you understand, can you imagine? In the Galil, they're waiting for night to fall. We can always give Mitchit there. You understand? 24 hours of daylight, and this most probably happened in the middle of the day. It may have been about 36 hours of uninterrupted daylight. So that, in that sense, I call it the first battle for the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, because I talked about there going to be two chapters, one dealing with the battle against the kings of the south, the other the kings of the north, and this is when the battle for Eretz Yisrael begins in earnest. And Yericho was a beachhead. Yericho was a beachhead. Ai was a disaster. The second battle of Ai only canceled out the first battle of Ai. But the real conquest of the land begins with this battle. Have a happy Hanukkah. I was going to say merry Hanukkah. Have a happy...